Why is it important to have the Holy Spirit in our life? So that when you're going through strange seasons in life, even when they don't seem strange, the Holy Spirit walks with you. He talks with you. He tells you what it is that you need to know. So when you walk through a season, you say, Lord, should I have done something different? He'll go, nope. Or he may say, yep. And if he says, yep, he's going to tell you what it is you needed to do so that you can grow, spiritual growth. This morning, what I want you to look at with me is we're going to look at John chapter 7. You can turn there if you want in your Bibles, or you can look online with YouVersion. We're going to look at this, and this falls right into line with why we need the Holy Spirit and what it is we need to focus on. You and I, we need to grow together. We are the church. It isn't about going to a place so that you can get filled up just so you can tolerate your week and come another week and get filled up. It's learning how to be filled continuously, as we're going to find out in the message today. Because it's so important to understand, the power that you and I have is very limited, but the power of the Holy Spirit is limitless. Amen? Let's say today that you went out to whatever store you want to buy a refrigerator at, wherever you shop at, but you're going to buy this refrigerator that is the grand poobah of all refrigerators. It is the top of the line, never seen before, and it costs quite a bit, but you're willing to invest in this fridge because this sucker is just made of gold. It not only makes ice, and it not only dispenses water, but it'll do your dishes, and it'll microwave your food, and it'll shovel your walk, or whatever. I mean, it's just an amazing refrigerator. You don't have to clean the house. The fridge will do it for you. This is how amazing this refrigerator is. And so you buy this refrigerator, and the day before it's delivered, you go out to the store and you buy all the groceries and all the food that you want to put in it so that it can remain in this refrigerator. And when the refrigerator comes the next day, you stock the refrigerator full of all the food that you bought. You go to bed excited about this new refrigerator, but you wake up in the morning to check the refrigerator only to find out the milk is spoiled. The ice cream has melted. The veggies are all limp and wilted. And you think, what is the matter with this refrigerator? I spent money on this amazing, powerful refrigerator that's supposed to do all of these amazing, powerful things. And everything is spoiled. So you call that store and you let them know how ticked off you are in the name of Jesus. And tell them how disappointed you are. And they tell you on the phone, they say, can you do me a favor? Open the door and tell me if the light comes on. So you open the door, there's no light. And you think, amazing, the light's broke. I've had it less than 24 hours. It's not even, the light won't work. And they say, well, put your ear next to it and listen to it hum. Tell me if it's humming. And you say, no, it's not even humming. There must be a problem with the motor. Will you check one last thing, they say. Will you look in back of the fridge and tell me, the cord, is it plugged in to the outlet? And you say, no, it's not plugged in. And you might think, this refrigerator is so amazing, it should be able to do all of these things. I shouldn't have to do the work of plugging in the cord. It should just come that way. Now, as silly as that illustration may be, appliances are dependent in nature, right? Right? Do you guys all have your fridge plugged in? Because if you don't, it's going to be dependent upon that electricity or that power. They have the ability to cool and to freeze. But unless we first plug them in, they're of absolutely no good to us. Unless you plug the cord into the power, your food will go bad. Now, that's obvious. No matter how much you pay for it, your fridge will not work the way it was designed to work unless it's plugged in to the power. You and I are dependent creatures. We've not been designed to work on our own. And it's only as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit that we're able to produce what our lives are supposed to produce. And so what I want to talk to you about today is the Holy Spirit. In a few months, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, who he is, a little more deeper. We're going to talk about him today. But we're going to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit then. The gift that he gives of speaking in tongues and why we should do that. And so if we're talking today about the Holy Spirit and something weird happens, just wait two more months and let's see what happens, right? Because I tell you what, there's something that happens when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, having the Holy Spirit and functioning within the gift of the Holy Spirit, two different things. So we're going to take time and just get to know about the Holy Spirit. If you've walked with him for 25 years, I'm not saying you don't. You do. You have the Holy Spirit. But are you connected in a way that it's bringing power? into your life, the way that it's designed to bring power. Because if we don't understand that, some things can get very stagnant. Some things can start to spoil in our life. But once we get plugged into the Spirit, we will experience a supernatural wonder in our lives. And it doesn't come without challenges. We'll always have challenges. We've become almost normalized to the challenges. And when you tap into the power of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, and as we look through some of these observations, I want you to ask yourself, or maybe it's asking the Holy Spirit, is this where I'm at? Or is it, you know, how do I line up according to the Word of God? Here's the first observation. Write this down. The first one, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. That's where we got to start. You and I have got to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is first and foremost a gift that is given by God. Let me jump over to John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, and Jesus is talking to them, and he says this, on the last day, the great day of the feast, which was the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow, what? Do you remember? Rivers of living water. Living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he says this, I've got a gift that I'm giving to you. You can't fully receive it yet because I'm still here. But once I'm gone, this gift I give to you, I give to you free of charge. How many of y'all like the word free, right? Yeah, we love that word. Gimme, gimme, gimme. We love that word. And he says, I give you the gift of the Holy Spirit free of charge. Now, maybe, how would you feel, I guess I'll ask the question, how would you feel if you bought a gift for somebody and you gave it to them and they went, oh, and kind of crinkled their face and kind of set it on the pew next to them and ended up leaving service, leaving the gift behind? How would that make you feel? Well, you'd probably feel like they didn't really value you or care about you. They probably feel like, you know, they didn't like my gift, and if they didn't like my gift, they probably don't like me very much. You know, maybe you've done this before. You've given somebody a gift, and you realize maybe 6 months later that they re-gifted it to somebody else. Yeah? You're all looking at me like, no, Pastor, we don't do that. I know it happens. And it would hurt your feelings. You would feel kind of like they didn't really like what it is that you gave. The gift that God gives, he gives to us free of charge, and that gift that he gave was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is not something. The Holy Spirit is a someone, right? It's not something, the Holy Spirit. I've got Jesus, so I'll just throw this little extra thing on board. No, the Holy Spirit is a someone. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And too many believers, I say too many, it's not like I've pulled them, but I think too many believers today think that the Holy Spirit is a forgotten member of the Holy Trinity. They know that he's there, but they just don't know what he does. They know that he's there, but they don't know why he's important. This happens in jobs, happens in families and environments all around the world. You may be in a job and there's a season when maybe either you first start the job or you get a new boss or supervisor or whatever the conditions are. And all of a sudden, you see people doing a job, but you wonder, what is that job that they're doing? Because it appears to me like nothing's really happening. Or maybe you've worked in a place where you felt like, I've got a job, but I don't really feel like I've got something to do. I don't feel valued or I don't feel important. And that can be so frustrating. Because there's an expectation that you have there, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get the results? In your spiritual walk with Christ, you can get into this place where I have great expectations, but if you and I don't do anything to feed ourselves spiritually or invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into our life, we'll become frustrated because we won't see any results taking place. See, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the most active member in that whole Trinity. Oh yeah, you know, Father, that's great. And he gave Jesus to die for us. I'm not taking away from any of them. But the Holy Spirit is the most active member in the midst of that Trinity. And it's the most active in the midst of our spiritual growth. I want to talk to you today about this. We hear this in church. Maybe, I don't know if you're here visiting today or you've joined us online and it's still kind of new. And sometimes churches, and I've done it, and I try not to, but sometimes we can talk Christianese. You know what I mean? We can say phrases, say things, do things that we think everybody understands because we've been in church for so long that somebody else might not understand. And people will say things like this, oh, it's important that we just walk in the Spirit. But what does that mean? You know, it's important that we be filled with the Spirit. But what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Is it like a cup and you pour water in it? Or is it like a gas tank that you know, I don't understand. And we're going to talk about that. But I don't want you to get caught up in the Christianese language. I'm going to say it a few times, but we're going to explain that. And let's take some time and break down what they mean and how they affect our spiritual growth. Back in John 13:33, Jesus was talking to the disciples. And Jesus looks at them and says this. He says, "Where I'm going, you can't come with me." Now, this created panic, I believe, in their lives. And the only reason I believe that is because it would create panic in mine. If I gave up everything to follow Jesus, and Jesus, I'm watching him do these miraculous things, and as long as I follow this guy, I'm okay. And then Jesus says, "I've got to go." And we say, whoa, go where? You know, we start packing our bags while he's talking because we're planning to go with him. He says, "Where I'm going, you cannot come with me." They did not understand that it was going to be the death, burial, and resurrection. And he said, but this, "I'm going to go and you can't come." And as they started to panic, Jesus knew that the disciples were deeply troubled. So he said this in John 14:16. He said, "I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Now that's good news. However, I suspect they didn't feel very comforted at the time. You see, he said, "I'm going to give you another helper." And they said, "We don't want another helper. We want you. We like you. We want to follow you. We want to do what, you know." And he says, you don't understand. This must take place. Jesus had to die and be risen again from the grave in order that the Holy Spirit might come. If Jesus remained, he could handle a few people here and there and minister to them. But with the presence of the Holy Spirit, he can minister to everybody at all time because he sent his helper. And I want to focus on two words he said there. "I will give you another helper." The first word I want to focus on is the word "another." If you look at kind of the Greek language of that word "another," here's what it means. The word "another" means another of the same kind. He says, "I'm going to give you another," not another substitute, not second best. I'm not going to give you some equal. I'm not going to give you some, you know, sweet and low and try to pacify that craving with some kind of a substitute. He says, "I'm going to give you another helper, another of the same kind of strength." And he says, and it will be a helper. If you look at the word "helper" and kind of just, you don't have to study it very long, but you look at the word "helper," it means this. It means one who is called alongside to assist, to enable, to make it work. So now look at this verse and read it this way. He says, "I've got to go, and where I'm going, you can't come. But I'm going to pray to the Father that he will send another of the same kind, with the same power, with the same anointing, with the same authority, to come alongside of you and assist you in everything that you are going to do so that I will be glorified in and through your life." Now that changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything. So he says just a few verses later, John 14:26. This would be a good verse that I'd call a 2x4 verse. Remember, I said, you know, you can either learn from the Word of God or you can learn from the world. And write it down on a 2x4 card. You can learn from hiding his word in your heart or you can learn from the 2x4s in life, right? But let's read this one together. It's up on the screens. You ready? Go. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Notice the word "all." He didn't say some. Well, all of it. He says, "I will be with you and I will teach you all things. You will remember all things." I got to tell you, I don't have the greatest memory. Now, I'm not saying my mind's slipping. I remember what I deem most important, which is usually TV shows or, you know, tennis scores or something like that. I'm blown away by how some people can remember everything, you know, that happened 12 years ago on this day. And I couldn't remember all that. But think about it when you're in a situation where you're facing difficulty. He said, "You may not remember everything, but I will bring to your remembrance all things that you hide in your heart." So how important now is it that we hide his word in our heart? How important is it that we're feeding ourselves spiritually? Because if he's going to bring remembrance, something in your heart, you got to have something there that he can bring remembrance to. That's why we've got to get into his word. You see, in our text from earlier, John chapter 7, we see that Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit. That's the, you know, the Holy Spirit is the power supply, if you will, for the Christian life. It's the pump. Maybe some of you here today have had, and if you don't have them, you've seen them, people who have goldfish ponds in their house, or maybe you've got a pool at your house, or a hot tub, or maybe you've just been at a local park where they've got some kind of a pond. You'll find in each and every one of those somewhere, or you should, a pump that is circulating that water, right? Because if you don't have a pump that's circulating all of the chemicals in your pool, what's going to happen to your pool? Well, it's going to get a little bit different color to it. It's going to start stinking a little bit. It's going to get a little bit slimy. Same with a goldfish pond. You don't have water pumping. It isn't going to be long before some mossy stuff gets over there. You got this slime, and all of a sudden, insects start to breed on it. So it's the Holy Spirit that enables us when we give up in our own efforts and realize how disabled we are without them. We've got to cooperate with that. In other words, I guess what I'm saying is it's not a do-it-yourself type of thing, the Holy Spirit. I have nothing against, I'll shop at Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, any of those. Those are great stores for when you want to go and do something in your house, kind of a do-it-yourself kind of a thing, right? I need to fix something. You can go to Home Depot. You can buy what you need, and you can do it yourself. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you cannot take the approach of do it yourself. You have to completely submit and surrender to the process and to the power of the Holy Spirit. You just submit to that, and it fills you up. Jesus said, apart from me, you what? Can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, you can't do this on your own. You can't do this yourself. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the divine enabler of our spiritual growth. And there is nothing that can substitute the filling of the Holy Spirit. I said I was going to address that word filling. When I talk about filling of the Holy Spirit, what I'm talking about is simply this. How much are you allowing yourself to be in the presence of God? How much are you taking time to feed yourself spiritually? If your stomach's empty, you go eat some food, it fills your stomach. We get that. When your glass is empty and you want more, you go pour more water in it. It fills your glass. When we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, what we're saying is making room for more of Him in our life and less of the world. More of His presence. In fact, the more of His filling or the more of His presence that you have with Jesus, the fewer programs you're going to need because you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's another observation. Write this one down. The filling of the Holy Spirit is necessary for our spiritual growth. It's necessary for our spiritual growth. We can see through Scripture that even though every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit, it is possible to experience very little of His power and influence over your everyday life if you don't have your fridge plugged in. You know what I mean? You can have the refrigerator. It's in my presence. But is it plugged in? Is there any power that's present so that it can do what it's designed to do? The issue is not much how much of the Spirit we have. It's how much does He have of us? How much have we given to Him? In Ephesians chapter 5, I'm kind of just going to jump around with a few scriptures. If you were to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Paul is speaking there to a group of people who are Christians, but they're spiritually asleep. They're spiritually asleep. So it shows us right there. It's possible to be a part of a church, to be a Christian, to be a group, but we're spiritually not awakened. We're not growing. That's why we're talking about this today. But it says in verse 18, the very next verse makes a statement about being filled. He says, "But do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, there's so much that's going on in this verse right here, and I don't want to focus too much right now on the drunk part, okay? What I want to focus on is the being filled side. Because the more consistently that you and I are filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, the faster we're going to grow in our faith, right? You don't feed a child, it depletes them. You feed the child, they grow. They become taller. They become stronger. Same thing spiritually. Because the more consistently we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the faster we'll grow in our faith. The basic meaning of the word to be filled with, it's not a hard concept to grasp. It means to be controlled by. When you are filled with something, when I'm filled with something, that is the thing that is controlling me. It means that somebody or something else has taken over the command center of my life, and it's calling the shots. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit's filling is that he may control our lives. Now, he's not some puppet master that wants to attach a string and tell us when to move and where to walk. He lays that out for us. We've always got the choice. He's asking for us to cooperate with him and say, as we receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, we'll want the same things that he wants for our life. See, the devil wants to rule our emotions. The devil wants to rule our passions, just the way that he wanted to dominate Peter and turn his betrayal of Christ into a permanent failure. You remember that? Remember Peter when he denied Christ? He was a disciple. He walked with Christ. He denied him, and the enemy wanted to grind that in and just say, you loser, you're never going to amount to anything. You'll never have victory over that addiction. You'll never be accepted. That's just his language. That's his vocabulary. And that's why Jesus in Luke 22 said to Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked permission to sift you as wheat. He said, the enemy wants to take you out. He wants to take you out. You see, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, all we're left with is the power of ourself, which isn't going to accomplish anything substantial in the grand scheme of it all. The filling of the Holy Spirit, it must be constant. It must be continuous. It must be renewed day by day. Are we doing okay so far? We're doing good. Okay. When it says to not be drunk because of it leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, it references being drunk and being filled, okay? It's just an illustration that's being used. But it's an illustration because a drunk person gets drunk, how? By drinking the alcohol that's in front of them. They don't get drunk by looking at the bottle, do they? No. If I look at this cup of water right here, it is not going to consume me until I grab it and drink it. So he's using the illustration and says a drunk person gets drunk by drinking, not just by looking at the bottle. The more that the person drinks, the more alcohol that's inside of them, the more it starts to take over their body. So when a man or a woman who is drunk, which I'm not condoning, illustration, that's all, when they are drunk, another power is taking over. And that person is now under the influence. Now we understand that language, don't we? You see it on Cops and on Live PD and you know, God help if you had to hear it in your past, but you will be arrested if you consume alcohol and drive because you are now under the influence of that alcohol. You're now under the influence. It is controlling you as much as you think you're controlling it. It's controlling you. It's consuming you. What's my point? My point is this. What the alcohol does to the body in a negative way, the Holy Spirit does to our new nature in a positive way. It consumes us and starts to heal areas where we're hurt. We started to think, I can never do that. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be somebody. But when you start filling yourself spiritually, you start stepping out and saying, I think I can do this. You know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think I can do this now. Why? Because of the new nature. And because you're filled with his Spirit. Does that help us with our understanding a little more about being filled with the Holy Spirit? That's why, rather than spending our time and our energy and our effort trying to change everything or change everybody, we should take time and just focus on making sure we're being filled in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Spirit takes control, people who have or had no control over their passions will be able to say no to the things that they should be able to say no to. They'll be able to do it because of the fullness of the Spirit. Too many believers are saying, well, Pastor, I'm trying really hard. I'm trying really hard to grow as a Christian. You know, well, what we need to do, and here, take this with a grain of salt, we need to quit focusing on the trying to change and start focusing on the being filled with the Spirit. Not being religious, being filled with the Spirit. Feeding yourself spiritually. Why exhaust yourself with a rowboat when you have a high-powered speedboat at your fingertips? Why spend time doing that if you really want to get somewhere? You really want to row all day long? I mean, how many of you guys have ever done the elliptical at the gym? You know, anybody? Kayaking, canoeing, anything with the boats? You get out there and you start doing that. I love it. It's fun. But after 20 minutes, my shoulders are starting to feel like they're on fire. And it starts to burn. I enjoy the trip. But if I'm really wanting to get from point A to point B as quick as I can, speedboat's the way to go. Not the rowboat. Because it's less effort on my part. I don't have to waste my energy or my strength because I'm now tapped into the power of the speedboat. Same with the Holy Spirit. You can row all day long and work it all out in your own strength, or you can jump in the SS Holy Spirit and let him turn that motor over and fly across all the things, the troubles, situations you're going through. Let me illustrate it this way. When you and I, our stomachs get upset, there's something going on inside of our stomach, and we're like, oh man, I just really don't feel good. And I'm not even going to give you ideas of what it could be. You just use your imagination, okay? But oh man, my tummy's upset. You know what we do? We reach for some medicine similar to this, a couple Alka-Seltzers, right? And we can say, man, my stomach's bothering me. And so we reach for something that we want to use that we can consume that will transform or address something that's going on in the physical body, so it will bring some peace, and so it will bring some relief so that we can be at more peace and enjoy the rest of our day. Spiritually speaking, here's what happens. When you receive Jesus into your life, here's your life. You're a cup of water. And what happens is as you receive Jesus, he says, I give you my gift of the Holy Spirit. And we can say, thank you, Jesus, but it means absolutely nothing until we do something with it. Now, tell the truth. When you're a kid, maybe even an adult, do you ever unpack these things and want to just stick them on your tongue? Let it fizz. That's what we did as kids. Whoever could hold it on their tongue the longest was the toughest, right? But this medicine does absolutely no good until all of a sudden you take who you are, submitted to the power of God, and invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, something starts to happen. Things start to stir up. They're bubbling up just a little bit. And all of a sudden, that transformation takes place within the very cup so that it can bring healing to your body is exactly what happens when we actually invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And all of a sudden, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is, right? Fast, fast, fast. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. He says, I give you my gift. I want to fill your spirit, and I want to transform you and consume you in such a way that it can bring healing to the areas where you're disturbed. Here's another observation. You can write this one down. The more we make worship our lifestyle, the more his fullness we will experience. The more we make worship our lifestyle, the more of his fullness we'll experience. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, speaking to one another, he's talking to the people, he said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I want to submit to you this scripture. This is just my thinking right now, okay? But I would like to submit to you that in these two verses that we're given right here, we are given the means to being spirit-filled and not just the results of being spirit-filled. Did you follow that? Let me read it one more time. He's speaking to the people and he says that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks in all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's easy to do when you're filled. And then we celebrate that. But I'm submitting to you that maybe, just maybe, it's the same means that he says, when you're walking through the dark times, that's when we should be making worship part of our lifestyle and submitting that to God. That fills our spirit. Not just worship that's done on a Sunday morning, but worship that becomes a lifestyle. It becomes something that you do on a daily basis. You know, I enjoy coming to praise and worship. They do such a great job, don't they? They do an amazing job leading us in worship. But if I let this be the only worship I do all week long, I'm going to become very depleted very quickly, just like you. this will make it obvious. When you run out of gas, your gas is low, what do? You go to the gas station, right? And you fill your car up to full. Now, I know we don't all do that, but in this illustration, we're going to go ahead and just top off the tank. And when we top off the gas in our car and the tank is full, as soon as we leave the gas station, what starts to happen? Well, the dissipation of the gasoline starts to take place. We start to burn the fuel because we're driving down the road. So if we've got places to go and people to see, the way that we get there is by our car. We're going to burn gas up, which means we're eventually going to have to what? Go back and get more gas. Spiritually speaking, if you just depend on a worship service to get you by through your week, you may make it, but you may be dragging yourself back in here next Sunday. You know, I got to get back in there. I'm on an eighth of a tank. And we get into the presence and sing hallelujah, and we top off our tank, only to go right back out and just do life the way we've been doing it before, and it exhausts us and depletes us. We drag ourselves back in. Why aren't we filling up throughout the week? I'll guarantee you, if your car is full of gas right now and it starts to hit empty by Wednesday, you're not going to wait till next Sunday to fill your tank up. You're going to go get gas when you need it because you got places to go, people to see. Spiritually speaking, you got places to go. God wants to get you there, but you're not going to get there in your own strength. It's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't hang at church all week long, right? I mean, you may want to, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but your family needs you. You've got to earn some money so you can pay for the house. You can't stay here just no more than you could sit at a gas station all week long because you're afraid to use the gas or you're afraid to run out. He will fill you, and he does it through the process of his Holy Spirit. Some people, you know, they want to stay at the mountaintop all the time and not come down. I get that. I want that, but it doesn't work that way, does it? For every mountaintop, there's a valley. For every valley, there's a mountaintop. And when we're on the mountaintop, we don't mind shouting and hollering and telling people how great God is. But do we still shout and holler and say how great God is when we're in the valley? So you can do that when you're filled with his Spirit. When you're filled with his Spirit. Don't ever think, by the way, just because you have to put, you know, when you put gas in your car, when it runs out, you may have to go to a different gas station. It might be a different grade of fuel. It might be a different, you know, whatever. But when you start feeling depleted in the Holy Spirit, he doesn't give you some other cheap alternative. He gives you the fullness of his Holy Spirit. And he said he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Amen? Right? Okay. So we can always count on him. Here's another, I only got 10% battery left in my iPad, so we're going to have to hurry up. Here's another observation. The fullness of the Spirit is important because our flesh will never behave. Our flesh will never behave. In Galatians, we are told, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. While Ephesians 5 is talking about who is in control, Galatians 5 is talking about who will win the battle. One way you know you're a Christian is when you feel the battle raging within you. That sinful flesh and the Holy Spirit. The ultimate tug-of-war game that goes on in our very own soul. If you don't feel the struggle, you need to check your pulse, your spiritual pulse. Because you're either, the people that don't sense that are the ones that are either not saved or they're dead. It's one of those two. Because there's always that battle. So if you don't feel that, we need to check that. The Bible tells us again and again that God and the flesh will never, ever get along because they are diametrically opposed to one another. The struggle comes because we still live in our own sinful flesh. You know, we still got this. No matter what you think or feel about this that you have, this sin flesh we have, though we have the new nature within us, that creates the tug of war. That's why Paul had to exhort us to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh, but to walk by the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the flesh's wrong desires. Now, it's easy to misread that scripture. It didn't say, walk in the Spirit and you will not have the desires of the flesh. It said, when you walk in the Spirit, you will have what it takes so that when the temptations come, you don't have to lean into it. You can choose what God has for you. It said, walk in the Spirit, and you will have what it takes to overcome when the desires present themselves. You know, there's going to be times when the enemy is going to tempt you. He's going to put an image in your mind. He's going to try to get you to take a shortcut. Doesn't mean you have to take it. It just means he offered it. And when you're full of the Spirit, you can act on what the Holy Spirit gives. Our human flesh, though, it's never going to behave on its own. It never will. It's not that if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will never have that desire of the flesh. It's that when the Holy Spirit is in control, the flesh won't have the last word. Here's the last, I think the last observation with a few points to it. Walking by the Spirit is a daily process. Walking by the Spirit is or should be a daily process. Do you find time in your day to talk to God? I don't know what that means. It could be podcast you listen to, worship music you're playing, just being grateful and thankful for the things that God has given you, taking time to just honor him, and whatever that means, but it should be a daily process. And there's three components that we don't usually think about that go along with walking with him daily. Number one is this. Walking in the Spirit involves a destination. Number one. There's nobody here today that starts walking without, first of all, having a destination in mind. Unless it's just to get up and go for a walk because you want the exercise. You got up this morning and you walked out of your house to your car because you're heading to church. You have a destination. Well, spiritually, you and I, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are going somewhere when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The flesh, it will always seek to move you away from Christ, where the Holy Spirit will always move you towards him. So, walking in the Spirit involves a destination. But number two, walking in the Spirit requires dedication. It requires dedication. Most people don't walk 20 steps in a day and then stop. I'm done walking the day. I have done my time. I have worked out 21 steps today. Whoo, man. You know, you're going to spend more time, more steps than that, just walking to the bathroom back and forth a couple times, right? Well, when you walk, it requires your dedication if you're going to get somewhere. Spiritually speaking, as we walk, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's in the midst of our walking, he renews us as we dedicate ourselves to that filling process. And lastly, number three is walking in the Spirit acknowledges our dependence. It acknowledges our dependence upon God. When I take a step, I am dependent upon my left foot right now as I take a step out. I'm depending that it is going to be able to withstand the weight that I'm going to put on it. I'm depending that my leg, my knee, all the way up to my back is going to be able to support that, and there we go. It did it. But when you walk in the Spirit and you depend on him, he'll say, take a step. I don't know if I can do it. You can do it. Oh, yeah, I can. Take the next step. Yeah, well, looky there. Take another step. Look at that. I can do it. You see, you can do these things when you're filled with his Spirit, but it requires you and I to come to a place of making sure that we're depending on the right thing, not on our physical strength, but on the power of the Holy Spirit. We must depend upon that. The Holy Spirit gives you the power, gives me the power, to say no to the enemy and to the flesh when they try to trip us up and lead us astray. You know, when a baby is in the mother's womb, what happens is eventually it grows to the point that its location can no longer hold it. The baby decides it's time to make an appearance in this world. And when it's time and when it's ready to exit the womb, when the baby's ready to exit the womb, there is no stopping it. Amen, ladies? There's no stopping it. You don't go 9 months and say, I don't want to be pregnant anymore. You don't go 8 months and say, I want a redo. What a mulligan. You know, Jesus, if you're real, take this child from me now. You know, crazy prayers because we're scared. But when that baby says, for whatever, and it's obviously God that appoints the time, but when that baby says, I'm ready and I'm ready now, there's no stopping it. It is going to happen. And here's the interesting thing. The mother and the world have to adjust to the baby, not vice versa. Your world changes, doesn't it? When something is birthed new in your life. Sometimes that can be scary, but that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do, is birth some new things. You see, this is what happens to us when we walk with him. We become filled with the Spirit. The seed is planted, the growth takes place, and then the fruit appears. And the fruit of the Spirit is not just for us to enjoy, but it's to give to others as well. And if you will trust Him, He will get you from where you're at to where you need to be in a supernatural way. Lisa and I came back from California a few months ago. We went to visit my daughter for Christmas. And I love going through the airports simply because, you know the escalators they have? You stand on them, they take you up, right? You ever see those escalators that are just straight, flat, and they just move you along? You know what I'm talking about? I love those things. I don't know why everybody doesn't use them. You know, I'm sure there's some people that are like, you know, I need the exercise and I want to walk. That's okay, go ahead. But for me, I like to stand on them things for two reasons. Number one, if I don't want to do anything at all, I don't have to. It's going to move me. But if I do feel like walking, I can walk while that escalator or whatever it is you call it is moving. And here's the fun part. This is what I love to do. You know, sometimes she'll walk with me. Most times she ignores me at this point. But I will walk, and everybody else that's kind of huffing and puffing, walking through the airport, and I'll just stroll. And I'm passing them by at such a slow pace. Why? Because I have something underneath me that's moving me faster than what's moving them, where they're depending on their natural strength and their natural stride to get them from point A to point B. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying, why work harder than you have to if you've got something designed to get you moving from the natural to the supernatural? That's what it's like being filled with the Spirit. Because there's times when, folks, let's just be honest, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'm going through a difficult time. When you are filled with the Spirit, you can just sit back and rest in His presence, and He will still get you from point A to point B if you will trust in Him. And when you and I learn what it means to be filled with the Spirit or walk in the Spirit, though we will have to do some stepping in the natural, His Spirit will do the supernatural. The Holy Spirit will take you, by the way, as far as you want to go, as fast as you want to go. But we must depend on Him. If you're here today and you're saying, I want to see some growth, it's not a question of waiting on God. The question is, God's waiting on us. To do what? To cooperate with that filling of His Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to be weird. Well, you already are. But He says, as you walk through life, I can move you in a supernatural way if you'll allow my presence to move you. The choice will always be ours. Amen, church? Will you pray with me as we say, Father, I thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit. I thank You that what is in each and every one of us is greater than anything else that this world has to offer, because it's found in the presence and in the power of Your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I pray today that You would help us to understand what it means to move and walk and have our being in Your presence. Lord, I pray for those that are here today where they feel like it's been an uphill walk, it's been an uphill battle. Lord God, that today we could shift gears and put our dependency upon You and Your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we're asking today that You would fill us. We're asking today that You will come, and that, Lord, if the mountain that's in front of us, we ask that You'd remove it. But if it cannot be removed, Lord, we will place our faith in You, so that whether we're on the mountaintop or we're in the valley, we will sing, greater is He that's within us than anything else in this world. So Jesus, I pray for each and every person here today. And I ask this, as you're seated there, are you here today and you feel like you've kind of come to the end of your rope? You feel like you've kind of come to a place where you're worn out. You're in a new season maybe, and you need some more of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You need to see Him move. If you're watching on YouTube and you're saying, Pastor, that's me, I need that. Here's what I want you to do. Just put your hands out. I want to pray for you. Just put your hands out if you're saying, I need more of His Spirit. I want to grow in my walk with Christ. Jesus, You see their hands, You see their hearts, and I pray today that You will come and You will fill them by the power of Your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, no longer do we walk in the natural, but we look to the supernatural. Lord, we don't look at just what we can achieve or accomplish in our physical frame, but we're asking You to come and fill us by Your Holy Spirit so that we can understand that that means when we have more of You, we can accomplish greater things. And Lord, when we hit those dead ends, when we hit those roadblocks, Lord, I pray that You will help us to remain faithful and dedicated in those moments until we hear the next words, the next direction that You will lead us. So we receive that today and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen, church.